But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I think that's just a powerful, powerful statement. I want to read just open up with a quote. Try not to be too lengthy on it, but it says, "We've had a great revival, no doubt, but it's been a denominational revival. Why? Because we sow denominational seeds." Correct. "When the Holy Spirit falls, just like the rain on the just and the unjust, the rain falls, make a cultivar grow and make the wheat grow too, both of them just as happy as the other one. But their fruits, you know them. What did we try to do? A million more in this organization outdoing that one, this denomination outdoing that one. We've had a Billy Graham, we've had a great revival, and the Baptists, and one of you boys up there, great man of God too. Yet Pentecostals had a revival, Oral Roberts, oh my, many of them, great revival. Boy, they picked up in numbers. Who would have had it? What's it turned out to be now that it's over? Did you know Joel there said there will be a former and a latter rain? The former rain, former means more, eh?
Right.
Hebrew word which means a sowing rain, sowing a crop. That's the reason. What did you reap? All the organization's built up, but where's God at? You've sowed denominational seed. When the Holy Ghost fell, it made a denominational revival. But what we need is to get back to the Word, get back to the real Word of God, and bring forth a bride to Christ and the Word. True. Back to the Word. Let the organization, that's all right, nothing against it, but everybody's just got to pull a few punches, you know, because if they don't, they get put out. God have mercy. Pulling punches. Tell the truth or shut up. Yes, sir. Just say it the way it's wrote. See if God don't confirm it. I challenge you to believe it. I know it's the truth, see? But you've got to stay right with the Word and believe it. Not just slip over here this way and that way and say, I'll peck at it and I'll try. You don't do that. No, no. You've got to come with a whole heart. It's your Word, Lord. I believe it. God will make it. It'll go to work right then. Yes, sir. I love that quote. Amen. Let it go to work. And that's the thought is tonight, is let the Word go to work in your life. Amen. Because, you know, the Word will do what it needs to do. And it's like when an anesthesiologist gives a person a medicine to calm them down or do what they need to do, don't fight the medicine. Allow the medicine to do what it's trying to do to you, because the medicine is for you. And the medication, it's actually prescribed to you. And we know in the medical field today, they can make mistakes because it's man and they're practicing medicine. But we're talking about a medicine from God where God's not practicing. God knows what He's doing. God knows how to save man. God knows how to heal man. God knows how to redeem man. He knows what He's doing. And God will give a prescription. What I love about a prescription is it's got your name on it. That means it is prescribed to you. That means it's prescribed to your identity of who you are. There's symptoms inside your life that says this calls for this prescription. And God has got a word that will meet and address that exact need. And God saw man before the foundation of the world. He saw you and I that will be bound in sin, shaken in iniquity. But God had a prescription. And He sent that prescription to us. And there was a deep thought of a deep on the inside of us. You know, imagine somebody having heart trouble. Imagine that being a deep call to the deep for a medicine that would cure heart trouble. And that's about the way it was. Man had a serious heart trouble. He was lost. But God had a prescription that would satisfy that on the inside. But you don't take it a prescription. You have to take it the way you're supposed to take it. Right. You know, you can't not take, you know, take the medicine. It says take it three times a day. You can't take it once every 2 days or once a day and say, well, that medicine don't work. You're not doing it right. And that's the same way it is with the Word. We must apply the Word exactly the way it's prescribed for us to do it, because it will do what it's supposed to do. You believe that? Yeah. I believe the medicine is chosen for us specifically. You know, that doctor, there's a medicine cabinet. They can open that up. And he says, I see the symptom. I see what they're going through. I see what my people have need of right now. This is what they need. And He'll give you a prescription. He'll give a word. And imagine you can look at it and you're saying, you know what? That
mighty wind. But you know what? Sometimes it'll be a still, small voice that will speak to you and say, I am with you. Amen. You know, I remember one time I was going through a hard time. I couldn't sell cars. I couldn't do this. Nothing was going right. And I remember it was raining on the outside. And I walked to the window and I looked at it and I was so down. I felt so beat down, but I felt the Spirit just drop down. He said, I am with you. Amen. And all of a sudden, my fears went away. Because God was with us. God has got a prescription for us. And the number one key to having success from that prescription is we must take it exactly the way it's been given.
Right.
Don't change it. You know, Brother Grimm talked about the medicines. If it don't make you sick, it don't do you any good. Sometimes we need some sick medicine, you know, something that'll be a little... But Brother Tony talked about the sweet stuff, and the sweet in your mouth, bit in your belly. That's word.
Right.
And sometimes we always want the sweet stuff, but sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes it's bitter going in the mouth, and it's bitter in the belly.
Right.
But you get to feeling better.
Amen.
Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, we are called to believe the word. You know, we as a seed is called an apple seed. It's called to be an apple tree. It's a calling. It's something on the inside of it. The whole time, that seed, imagine him being in a packet. He's got a calling to be a seed of God. He may not be in the right environment, and that's why he's not being a seed, an apple tree. He don't look like an apple tree. He don't feel like an apple tree. Yeah. But he's still an apple tree.
Yeah.
Right. But he's got to just get put in the right environment, and he's got the call all the time on the inside of you. And it reminds me how a son and daughter of God will have a call to be the bride that we're talking about tonight. It's a call on the inside, but you can't stay in the package and become the bride. You've got to get in the right environment. Got to get in with the right word. And that's the thing about brother and sister. Just going to a church will not make you bride. It will not mature you to be bride. Potentially, you're already the bride because your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. We did not put our name there.
Right.
You didn't put your name there, and you can't take it off. God's the one that put it there, but God has got a provided way for that seed to come to maturity, and just going to a church may help for a little while.
Yeah.
An eagle can be hatched under a chicken. You can put it in an incubator. It'll hatch. But you will never come to the full potential of being an eagle, of what it's called to be, until it's put in the right environment. And that's the way it is with us. Why can't we just go to a denominational church? Why can't we go do this? There is light over there. They talk about the love of Jesus. Absolutely. There's some sermons you can hear. Wow, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. What you heard, that's right. But it's got to be the anointing from one of the seven lamps that were before the throne.
That's right.
And that anointing comes upon the minister. And when the minister preaches the same word, it's the same anointing. And that anointing will penetrate the seed. And it's a calling inside that seed to be the bride. And it'll call that, and that is what will bring that maturity all the way enough for our rapturing faith. We're talking about we need faith for a rupture.
Amen.
It's a reality. And the devil tries so hard to make it so small that they know we just go to church, we talk about a rapture, but it'll never really happen. Let me tell you something. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a body change. And I'm going. How about you?
Yeah.
Brother Grimm said, if there's one person in the room, you be the one.
Yeah.
I got joking with Brother Tony one time. Brother, I'm going to give you my keys. I'm not going anywhere. Brother Daniel, I don't want your keys. I'm going too. I believe you are. But you know what? That is why we got to have a message of the hours, because it is an anointing. And that's why we have to stay under the influence of this message. Amen. We will be tried to see what we believe. Because what?
military to boast, we have got this great weapon, if you can never use it.
Right.
You know, and we preach and we believe, we preach as hard as we can that we have received the message that will turn the faith of the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the fathers back to the children. Do you believe that? Well, there should be an evident fruit if we are being turned back. That means that there should be an evidence of that word, of that faith in our hearts. I want it in my heart. I want it in my life. The evident fruit of it. That what I'm saying, I've got. I want to say that. Because I don't want to be a stuffed shirt. If you're a stuffed shirt, you're acting like you got it. You're acting like you got it. Acting like you got it. Then when it comes down, you ain't got it. There's going to come a time, brother and sister, rapture morning, stuffed shirt's not going to work. We're going to have to make sure we got the goods to take this body change.
Amen.
You got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Right.
Got to have the Holy Ghost. We claim to be the original church, but we claim that we have the fullness of the word, but where are the signs of the true church in the lives of the people? If we're saying we got the fullness of the word, we got the full truth, where's the signs of it, of the victory? And I believe there is victory. I'm not trying to say there's not victory. I want more of it.
Amen.
Say amen. I believe we should want more of it. I want the signs there. I don't mean we have to go to where we're lost, where we're speaking in tongues, that's all we got. We're way beyond just that. But you know what? It does not offend me if someone speaks in tongues. They speak in tongues, praise the Lord. Long as it's in order, hey, praise the Lord. But you know what? I want the signs of this word in my life. Because that's the biggest thing. It's not just the jumping and the shouting and the hopping. It's knowing who you are and knowing where you're standing. Be thou a man. Become a man. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You sisters, be a man tonight. Not physically, but maturely. I know who I am.
Amen.
You know, because we live in an age where men are not men anymore.
That's right.
Amen.
They're sissies.
That's right.
You know what? They can't handle pressure. You put pressure on them, they don't know what to do. They crumble on it. But you know what? God has called you to be a man in this gospel. Because, you know, we are built for this pressure. We're living in an age where it's absolute pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure all the time. And people are about to explode all the time because they're not built for it on the inside of you. But God's got a people. Your God is calling you to be a man in the gospel.
Amen.
That's right. The gospel has been bled for. It's been whipped for. It's been died for. It's been persecuted for. For what? What has it become today and today? You know, I think about, I can't help but think, maybe it's the fourth that's put in the back of my mind of thinking of all the soldiers that died on the battlefield. They were fighting for it. Why? Because they believed in it. They said, you know what? My children, my grandchildren, and my children's children, I'm fighting for the freedoms that they can be a Christian, fighting for the freedoms that they can be an American, fighting for all these things that my men, the men that are going up can be men, can be American. What if they were to be able to look and see what in the world they've done with the freedoms they've been given? And the church is the same way. How people have died for this gospel. They have fought for it. They bled for it. They tried for it. They've done all these great sacrifices. But what have people been doing with it now? I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. You say amen?
Right.
I want to be proud of me. I know you can never disappoint the Lord because he knows every mistake that you'll ever make. I understand that. I'm talking about help me to allow this word to work in my life to where it can do what he said it can do. Amen?
Amen.
Paul had the evident fruit of his God-given ministry. And I want to read this quote to you. I know these tabs have got a purpose, but they're annoying sometimes. You're trying to pull them off. He says, Paul had been the means of bringing in multitudes of the Gentile sheep. He fed them and cared for them until they brought forth righteous fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as a part of the Gentile bride. This is out of the church age book, too, by the way, the Ephesian church age. At the time of the giving of the revelation, according to tradition, Paul had already died a martyr. But John was carrying on in his stead exactly as Paul had done in the days of his ministry. The death of Paul before the revelation was given does not at all annul the fact that he was the messenger to the Ephesian church age. Now catch this last part. For the messenger to every age, regardless of when he appears or goes, is the one who influences that age for God by the means of a word manifested ministry. And Paul was that man. Amen. So the church age messengers, what helped them choose which one of these messengers was the church age messenger? He's the one, for Paul, he was the one that influenced the people the most according to the word. And every church age messenger after that, that's what narrowed it down to being the ministry. Is their ministry was the closest to Paul. And Paul said, if any other man or angel preach any other gospel than what I've given you, let him be accursed. You say amen. Brother Bram talked about the bride, that he saw a vision of the bride, and he saw the bride coming through, and they were naked. They had a little skirt on and nothing on the top, and they were dancing to rock and roll music going through. And Brother Bram said he was so sad within himself. And look, he said, God, after all that we've done, all the labor that's been forth to bring forth the bride, and this is the best that we could do. And it just broke his heart so bad to see that. But then he saw another bride coming through there that was marching onward Christian soldier, that were holiness, walking in holiness, walking in truth, and they were walking straight in the midst of an absolute dark world. And brother and sister, I believe with all my heart that's where we're at. Amen. Where people think that because they're marching, they're the bride. Just because you're going to a church, you're bride. And brother and sister, it's a deception. Our life must have the evident fruit of our God-given ministry of being the bride. Say amen. From the inside of us. Not because we're working something up. It comes out automatically. It's something. A tree does not manufacture apples. It just bears apples. A sheep doesn't manufacture wool. It bears wool. And the bride of Jesus Christ will not have to work up these miracles. It comes out of you automatically. Say amen. It's a bearing. It's something that comes out of you. Paul was the one that influenced the age the most by the word. So what would it be to be under the influence of this messenger? And what would it be? I'm asking the question, what would it be to be under the influence of this message? Because I'm not asking you to be under the influence of just this church.
Right.
Because this church could go under, or something happened, you know, the Lord could take Brother Tony off the scene, me off the scene. You don't know what's going to happen with that.
Right.
Your salvation, your rapture does not rest on this church. Your rapture does not rest on this, but it does rest on you accepting God's provided way, and that is being under the influence of your message,
right,
of your hour.
That's right.
We must be under that influence. What does it mean to be under that influence? If you're walking around somebody and they influence you, if they walk a certain way, you'll start walking that way. If they drink Mountain Dew, you'll start drinking Mountain Dew. Is that right? Influence. If they start drinking good girl moonshine, you'll start drinking good girl moonshine. And anyone that's listening, that's what is it? it's your lemonade stuff without any kind of alcohol, nothing like that. If you're around one another long enough, you'll start to walk like them, you'll start to talk like them, you'll start to act like them, you'll start to dress like them. Why? You're under the influence. So that means when we are walking with this message, I'm not talking about just a church. I'm talking about the message. I'm talking about the word that's been given for this hour. If you are being influenced by that word, if you're walking under that influence, your life should be transforming to match that word.
Amen.
And there should be a desire for it. There should be a love for it. You say amen.
Amen.
Because it is a love. I love it. It's also kind of sad, but the scripture says, because they received not the love of the truth, God would send strong delusion that they would believe a lie.
That's right.
People truly believe that they're right. And the whole time, if you take the word and look at themselves, their life does not match the word. God is a holy God, brother and sister.
Right.
And whenever he's a holy God, when you have that Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the life that is inside you is the life that you will live.
Yeah.
That's as simple as I know how to make it.
Yeah.
If you got a dog, how do you know he's a dog? Because he acts like a dog. There's a life inside of him. How do you know there's a life of a dog? Because he acts like a dog. And when you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that life on the inside of you will do the works of that life. Amen?
Yeah.
It's a holy life. A holy life inside you will bear a holy life on the outside.
Amen.
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 I'm,
talking about, I'm talking about going into a rapture. I'm not doing these things. But you know what? While we're getting there, we can enjoy the journey. Not many years ago, I'll make this real quick. Me and the kids, we were all little ones. We were going yard selling, and I was rushing as quick as I could to get to the next yard sale. And I can do a yard sale like that. I don't need this 20-minute yard sale at one place. I don't understand that. Go in there, you slam on the brake, you jump out, you do a quick loop, and I can tell you real quick if that's worth looking at. No offense to the people, but you got junk. You're going on to the next one. But I remember I had a rushness inside me. I was rushing, going, and I was making an opportunity that could have been enjoyable, unpleasant. Because I was so pressured, I was so rushing because I was going to miss the next yard sale. We're going to get this. Hurry up, get the car. And the Lord quickened it. You say amen? The Lord quickened it inside me and said, enjoy the journey.
Amen.
Stop rushing. You've got your kids with you. It's a beautiful day. You've got a message you can listen to. You've got godly music you can listen to. Enjoy the time. Slow down. And you know what? That's exactly the way it is with this walk with the Lord. We're going toward a rapture. But on our way, let's enjoy the journey. Let's enjoy one another. Let's enjoy one another's fellowship. Not just by talking about lifting weights, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's make sure we're talking about the Word too. Because, you know, you will be influenced by everything, lots of things in this life. But we got to make sure our number one influence in this life is the message of our hour. That's right. Because that's what's going to give us a rapture. I believe that to be the truth.
Amen.
It is the Word that changes each person, and it's a quickening of the seed on the inside. I'll read this. It's another quote. I won't be too much longer. The very name Ephesus has a strange compound meaning, aimed at and relaxed. The high aspirations of this age that had begun with the fullness of the Spirit, the depth of God, whereby they were aiming at the high calling of God, began to give way to a less watchful attitude. A less ardent following of Jesus Christ began to manifest itself as an omen, and in the future ages, the physical vehicle called the church would sink to the awfulness of the death of Satan. It had become relaxed and was drifting. Already the age was backsliding. This is the first church age. It had left its first love. The tiny seed planted in that Ephesian age would one day grow into the spirit of air until all the foul birds of the air would roost in its branches. So inoffensive to human reasoning would that little plant appear to that new Eve, the new church, that again she would be deceived by Satan. The Ephesian age had presented to her the opportunity for God's best, and for a while she prevailed and then relaxed. And in that unguarded moment, Satan planted the seed of complete ruination. And that's out of the Ephesian church age. Brother and sister, help us just keep a watchful eye with all that we have. Just a little bit more, and we'll close, okay? Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13. I just want to get a couple more points here. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which he heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now there's two points I want to make on this. First one is they received the word as not as the word of man, but as in truth, and that it was the word of God. It's so important that in how you receive the word. Because y'all realize this is coming from God. This isn't important. Why does it matter? Because it's so important. When he speaks, we better listen. Because it's important. And the second point, it says, the word will effectually continue to work in you that believe. And that's where the working comes, is when we believe it. And Satan will try so hard to make you disbelieve it. But as long, because that ETA, it means it's continual. It's continual. And I'm going to read that. Which effectually worketh, continues to work also in you that believe. Effectually, if you look at the definition of it, it's an effectual manner or with great effect. It means to producing or able to produce a desired effect. Think of that. The word has a desired effect in our life. I want that effect. If it says, if this says I should turn blue, I want to start looking blue. As ridiculous as that. I want to. And how do you do it? It's by believing the word. That is continually believing the word and meditating on the word. Keep your eyes on the word. Joshua said, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Stay right with this word. You know, you got a horse, you got to put blinders on a race horse. Why? Because he will get distracted if he don't. You got to keep it focused on this word, brother and sister. Because our victory is in believing.
Amen.
Believing this word. That is where your victory lies.
Amen.
And I know I'm closing, but I'm going to read one more, okay? We only get two services a week. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bram says, you know, it's a strange thing that how we human beings like to do things ourselves. But we are children of God, and many times we have to just take a seat and sit down till God comes around and does it his way. And notice the little child I was sitting back there a few moments ago talking to a very fine medical doctor from Chicago who I had the privilege of having breakfast with this morning. We were speaking, and perhaps he knows this, I'm sure he does. Many times you have a little child and he gets on a little temper tantrum. We call it at home. Oh, he's just kicking and squealing and going on. He's going, tearing up everything and going to hold his breath. And usually a mother will come and shake him and throw him up in the air and try and get him to get his breath. I don't think there's a case in history where one of them ever died in one. He just has to run to the end of the road and then nature takes over. And that's the way it is with us Christians sometimes. We just have to run to the end of the road and let grace take over. We have to run all over, run all of the theology out so God can really get to work. You believe that? God does work in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Now, I've noticed this, that each one of us as sons and daughters of God, many times I have thought of Pentecost. There they said they were all in one place in one accord. And where there's unity, well, there's power. And if we only knew that each one of us is an amateur way, is a creator. Now, we're sure that you understand that. Usually the little success that the Lord has given me, as I'm to testify this morning of success, is because of this one thing. That the patients that I'm praying for in the sick line, I have to enter into their fellowship of the suffering with them. And that's the reason that I can't have a prayer line where you just run them through like a bunch of sheep coming through a yard. You've got to feel the need of that individual standing before you. If you don't, you can't have the feeling of it. You say amen. I'm not trying to discredit any of these big prayer lines they have where all these people, 500 people, go through really quickly to do that. But that's honestly from my heart how I felt on that when I would pray for them. It's because I would try to fill the need, but in 2 seconds, or not even 2 seconds, it's 1 second, they're all the way past me because they're trying to go through that, through the prayer. And I understand that a lot of multiple people. That's not the point I'm trying to make of it. That's just that's 2 cents for whatever it's worth. The last thing I want to leave with is you got to have the feeling for the people.
Amen.
And Brother Brenham said that at one time, standing in the gap, he talked about how he come to a point as he's like, preach it, they won't listen to it, I preach it. He said it, he got to a point where he was feeling like he was losing the feeling for the people because he would try to preach it, they don't listen, you preach it, they don't listen, you preach it, they don't listen. He said, I come to a point, he says, I feel like I can't even do no help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us to not do that.
Right.
Help us to not lose the feeling of our people, not just the ministry. Because we don't want the ministry to lose feeling for the people. We don't want the mommies, the daddies, the aunts, the uncles to lose our feeling for our people. Because it is so important, because that's how we can really help one another, is when we've got that feeling for one another. Because you know, when you've got that feeling and you're burdened for one another, that's when you would go to prayer with that burden on your heart. Say, Lord God, please help my brother. Please help my sister. God, please help me do that. And because you're trying to supply their need, you're supplying your own need at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, help God help us to not lose the feeling for the people.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Ask our musician to come on forward if you'd like to. If you don't, brother, I'm probably going to preach again. Run on up here. I'm out of time today. You know what? I love this atmosphere. I love the work. You know what? And I love it with the few people that we've got. Imagine if we had more people here. Much more. Just more links of fire. You know? And because you know what? We're Christians. That's what we do. But I want to go to prayer. Let's just bow our heads. If you want to pray, just lift your hand to it. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for this opportunity to be in this place. I thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for coming into this little place that, Lord, that we've all assembled together to create an atmosphere, been able to worship. And Lord, we've read quotes where you have made us creators on the inside, Lord, where we can create an atmosphere. Lord God, I ask you to help they that are under the sound of my voice to walk under the influence of this message, Lord, under the anointing of this message, Lord, that you can draw out raptured faith out of our hearts, out of our lives, Lord, that you can draw out holiness, Lord. Lord, not that we try to manufacture anything or try to act like we're anything, but Lord, may we bear Christ, Lord, from the inside. And then we know the only way we can do that is when we have you on the inside, Lord. I ask you, walk the aisles, Lord, knock on hearts tonight, Lord, in homes, in their living room, in their cars, wherever they may be, Lord. May you knock on our hearts afresh tonight, Lord, that we can have a fresh opportunity right here, right now, that we can recommit ourselves, rededicate ourselves, and Lord, that we will let this word do what it wants to do in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen. Let the word go to work.
Amen.
You know, Moses wants to be with the people. He got in trouble.
Yeah.
I'll pray for your ministry. So that they always have a feeling for the people. We do, but sometimes, you know, ministry gets discouraged. You know, I mean, enjoy that.
Amen.
You know, I'm the world's worst about forgetting to take medicine. My wife's back there shaking her head. She said, "Do you want me to get you some of those pill thingies?" And I said, "You did." I've got some. You know, I forget to do it, you know. But, you know, it. Vitamins, medicine, it's just, you know, it doesn't do you any good if you don't take it.
Right.
And my problem is I don't set up some sort of system of diligence to make sure that I take it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same way with God's medicine. We have a responsibility to set up a system of diligence. Set aside a time. Set a timer. If you have to put something on your phone, an alarm or something, but something to take this medicine that God has given us in this day. And don't change it. Don't mix it. Don't weaken it down. It's God's sent it just like it needs to be. You know, medicine, in the medicine cabinet, you say, "Oh, I got plenty of medicine in the cabinet." Well, it doesn't do you any good if you don't take it. And there's plenty of word right here. But you got to take it inside.
Amen.
Don't leave it in the medicine cabinet. You know, Brother Daniel mentioned about the fire, lit the fire, the same fire in this day. We understand. Remember the place where Brother Branham went behind the curtain of time. He saw all the people coming up and saying, "My precious brother," all the different ones. And I mention this so often. In that dimension, he said, it was beyond sublime. There was no pain, no sorrows, couldn't, you know, nothing negative, no lies. Everything was just beyond perfection there. And so he said, you know, all these people came to him. He said, "Are these Branham?" They said, "No, they're not Branham. They're your converts." And he said, "Well, if this is what's happened, I want to see Jesus." He said, "Well, you can't see him right now, because he's higher, but he's going to come someday. And when he does, he's going to judge you. And if you're received, if you're, you know, then your converts will be." Right? How many remembers that? And he said, "Well, does Paul have to come this way?" And he said, "Yes, Paul will be judged, you know." Remember, the scripture said, Paul said, "I've laid the foundation."
That's right.
"And let everybody take heed how you build on that." You've got to build on the foundation that God laid through Paul.
Yeah.
And so, Brother Reb said, in that perfect, beyond perfect dimension, said, you know, "Does Paul have to be judged?" "Yes." And Brother Reb said, "If Paul makes it, then I will. Because I'm not divvied one bit from what Paul, right? I mean, remembers that. And in that perfect, beyond perfect realm, all of us believers that were there shouted with one accord and said, we're resting on that.
Amen.
We're resting on the fact that Brother Branham preached the same message that Paul taught. Same message, maybe a little more unfolding of it. And so there's that lake of fire. Remember in the scriptures where they had to light the lamps and they had to use the same fire. And remember the priesthood, the boys that went in and offered strange fire. And look what happened to them. They died because he used something different than the fire of God. They used a different fire.
That's right.
Listen, these people out here, these denominations, people are dying because they're using a different fire. Because they're not underneath the anointing that has come down through the ages, through these messengers, all the way down. And that's why you and I in that realm can shout and say, we're resting on that. Because we know that Brother Branham came with the same fire that God sent to Paul and down through the ages. We're resting on that. And so it's very important. I was listening to question and answers of Brother Branham. I asked Brother Branham. Somebody said, Brother Branham, it was about women's apparel and women wearing clothes in such a way that you could see above their knees and so forth. They said, don't you think that is a bad example or whatever? Brother Branham said, I absolutely agree with that person. Absolutely. That's a bad example,
right?
For someone to be dressing like that and call themselves Christians. But here's what Brother Branham said. He said, but tell me what I can do about it. He said, I preach it. And that's all I can do. But here's what he said. He said, may not be perfect wording, but it's their judgment because the word has gone forth. The word has gone forth. Now, the Bible, from the sermons, all the meetings we've gone to, from this pulpit, from every preacher that stood here, the word has gone forth. It's not like we haven't heard it, right? The word has gone forth. And if we don't take that word and use it in our lives, then that's what we'll be judged by, right? And so the ministers, we're not lords over God's heritage. We're not forcing people. We're going to preach that word, but it's up to the people to receive it and do something with it, to take that medicine. Amen. And so, I remember one of my cousins growing up when he was little bitty. When he'd get mad, he'd hold his breath. And like he'd just pass out almost. Mm-hmm. And it was, for people standing around, it's kind of alarming. But Brother Ram was right. It'll come to its road and nature will take over. They'll take a breath. Amen.
Yeah.
And so sometimes God just has to let us run till our rope is completely tied, and then he comes back and says, okay, here's what it is. I may enjoy that.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 448. We'll sing this and people can be dismissed. There's never